Hi, everyone. Welcome to a podcast of the Global Alliance for Behavioral Health and Social Justice. My name is Cecily Basquin, and I am the communications assistant for the organization. Today, I'm here with Dr. Dorothy Escalage. She's a professor of psychology at the University of Florida, and she's here today to talk with us about her work as a guest editor for this month's special issue of the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry on bullying and special populations. Thanks for agreeing to talk with us today, Dr. Escalage. Let's start by having you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about your research.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I think this is a great opportunity to highlight some of the work that we're doing with this special issue. My name is Dorothy Escalage. As she said, I'm at the University of Florida, where I've just spent my 2 years in Florida, but I spent 20 years at the University of Illinois, where we did a lot of bullying prevention in schools throughout the country, really trying to address and identify those populations that were at the greatest risk for being victimized, and then trying to prevent and intervene when that happens.
Great. Thank you. So how did you get interested in this topic with bullying and special populations for this special issue?
Yeah, so my team and some 40 PhD students that have gone on this journey with me, we've noticed as we were talking to kids out in the schools and different environments that there's a particularly, you know, understudied populations. So a lot of the bullying research was situated within K-12 settings in elementary school, middle school, and high school, yet there weren't really projects going on or understanding how different populations, from sexual minority youth to kids that are struggling with cancer, to kids in other other countries. So that's really understudied. So we started to notice that researchers were starting to do some research, but we weren't able to see that in the literature. So we wanted to pull this special issue together to then address those understudied populations that we can then design prevention programs to address the bullying in those populations.
Great. So it sounds like this topic was really understudied, and this is a perfect time to kind of get some literature out there.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, with the special issue in the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry, mm-hmm. you know, it's a kind of a one-stop shop, right? So once this special issue is together, you'll be able to see these papers together, really articulating the need to expand our scope in understanding bullying prevention.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so why was this special issue such a good fit for the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry?
Right. So a lot of people, when you think about American Journal of Orthopsychiatry, they're a little bit confused that we would have aggression papers in there. But really, the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry is a place in which most of us have published because they focus on not just knowledge generation and implementation of really good science, but how can we then take that science and inform what we know about mental health and what we know about social justice. Mm-hmm. And anybody that knows anything about bullying, you know that when you're a target of bullying, you know, it does address your ability to, one, deal with your own anxiety and depression associated with that victimization, but it also does impede on the for us to create a social justice kind of society mm-hmm. in ourselves and in others. And so the focus here in the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry on taking kind of good science, making sure that we have an eye toward implementation of policies and practice to improve the social justice in our world is just a perfect fit for what we're trying to do with the special issue.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like it'll really be of interest to a lot of the readers as well. So what lessons did you learn from putting this special issue together in regard to policy or practice?
Well, I think that we learned that, you know, there's, again, as I've said, that there's populations that have not been studied. So I encourage graduate students and even early career folks to think about some of these papers that are in the special issue. So, for example, one of the papers, you know, looked at the victimization experiences of kids with cystic fibrosis. And there's another paper on those kind of challenged with cancer. So you'd never think that kids that are dealing with physical health issues, right, really struggling as families to deal with chemo or to deal with the really challenging treatment for cystic fibrosis, that in fact that they would be targets for victims, right? So we learned unfortunately broke my heart to think that you're not only struggling with your physical, you know, issues, but then you're going to have peer challenges. So I think what we've learned from those two papers is that if you're hanging out with kids that are struggling with physical health issues, cancer, cystic fibrosis, diabetes, those types of things, then in fact, we need to be supportive of them and not necessarily placing them in more stressful situations. I think that we also in the special issue confirmed that gender and sexual minority youth are a continued risk for victimization. But what we learned through that one paper was that if they have really strong school sense of belonging, that that's a protective factor. So we've learned that we don't necessarily just want to say these are all the risk factors, but you know, for gender and sexual minority youth that go to a school that feel they feel connected, then they're less likely to have these negative outcomes. I think we've also, in some of the papers, identified for some of the first times, really looking at the experiences of inner city African American youth, and that's an area that needs to be studied much more. We also have a paper on American Indian youth, which is an understudied population, again, with the eye of understanding not just the risk factors associated with this context of being on a reservation or being in a high crime area, but understanding that there's environments can also be protective is very, very critical. But we also extended that to another understudied population, and that's the Latinx youth, and understanding their experiences and understanding what it means to have, you know, identity where you identify with Latino, Latinas, but what does that look like as far as victimization? And that's an important population as well. So I think what we've learned is that we're starting to address some of these understudied areas, but there's so much more work that needs to be done. And the questions need to become much more complex in understanding how identity plays out in these populations and what are the protective factors within those environments that protect those kids when they're victimized. Because we know from our research and others that we're not going to eradicate bullying. We want to minimize it and minimize the outcomes of those. And to do that, we need to understand both the protective factors and risk factors among these understudied populations.
Uh-huh. It sounds like great diversity in some of the articles that will be in the issue and really opening the reader's eyes to some of the experiences of these youth.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I think it's going to really show the readers, show the emerging scholars places mm-hmm. where we need to do a lot more work. I think we've overstudied certain populations and have exhausted those research questions, but this table of contents is really going to drive the next, I think, several decades of research in the area of bullying.
Great. And so what questions remain for you when it comes to this topic, especially after putting together this issue and learning some of the things that you did?
Yeah, so as you have imagined, I haven't really talked about any intervention, right? Mm-hmm. There's no intervention papers in this special issue. So what I fantasize about in the research mind that I have is that scholars will be able to take some of this basic research and then ask the questions of how do we, one, adapt some of the programs that we have such that would fit these populations to reduce bullying. Two, do we create different programs really leveraging these risk and protective factors that we've identified with these populations? And then three, finally, really building research programs such that we evaluate these prevention programs to figure out if they actually work for these populations. The big, big question is, we developed a lot of our prevention programs without considering some of these populations we've just talked about on this podcast, right? That concerns me a little bit. And it may be that we have to be willing to say those programs are not, don't include those really critical factors. So for example, when we think about identity within ethnic minority populations in this country, do our bullying prevention programs even consider that and leverage that? Within, you know, do we understand the historical underpinnings of some of this victimization and how do we create programs such that we can tap into that? So I think that's the big, big question, right? And maybe it's two questions is, do our prevention programs that are marginally successful, reducing bullying in our schools, how do they fare for these populations? Or do we need to go back to the drawing board to consider this basic research and start designing prevention programs that are going to be more effective for these populations? I think the big, when we think about kids that are, you know, in children's hospitals, dealing with leukemia or cancer, or those families that are dealing with a chronic illness like cystic fibrosis, there's virtually nothing out there in the literature to understand how do we roll out these kind of programs in the context of a hospital or wellness business, right? So we need to expand it beyond kind of American Psychological Association and this journal to think about how do we collaborate with pediatricians and other clinicians and partner to create programs for these populations that are understudied.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like that's really missing out there for this these special populations.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so then for people who are interested in learning more about this topic or getting involved after reading the special issue, what would you recommend to them?
You know, as I was rereading it for the podcast, one, I was just delighted by the number of scholars that contributed to this mm-hmm. special issue. I would really, really encourage scholars to reach out to the authors. I think that there's plenty of room for collaboration. The best ways for us to disseminate our science is to collaborate with one another. Don't be shy. Reach out to these authors. See if you can get involved, because the more we can get this in the literature, the more likely we're going to impact the next couple decades of prevention with the special populations.
Yeah, definitely. That's great advice for our listeners. So thanks, Dr. Esplash, for talking with us today. Be sure, everyone, to check out this special issue of the American Journal of Orthopsychiatry, and we hope that you'll join us for our next podcast as well.